Okay, we're going to start at the top of Samach Alvam now with the new Mishnah. Mocher Tabayit, someone who sells a house, lo machar yitziyah. We'll discuss what a tziyah is afterwards, but that is not necessarily included in the sale of the house. And that's even the fact that the yitziyah, meaning that it's a captive, whatever this room is, whatever this binyan is captive to the house. The access to this place is through the house. Same thing with this room. A room that is captive to the house is not necessarily sold with the house itself. And not the roof. If it has a fence around it, 10 tefachim high, because that makes it into a separate reshut. Right? If a 10 tefachim high gather around the roof is now a separate entity, and that will not be necessarily sold with the house. If it has a doorway, a framed out doorway, then even if it's not 10 tefachim high, it's not sold. So now the Gemara asks the first question, what is this yitziyah that is not being sold along with the house? So they explained it as a afta. Right? Afta is some sort of small adjunct building to the house. It's a low, small building that's attached to the house. Rabbi Yosef Amar Badcha Chalila, or Bidka Chalila, that it's a type of similar type of structure, but it's made with either lots of windows, some sort of a porch, portico, sunroom. I don't know the exact words that you want to use to describe it, but it's similar to this adjunct room, this small adjunct room that goes out on the outside. I would call the afta more like a storage, right, shed, right? But it's attached to the house, so you know, not necessarily a shed, but a storage area on the outside of the house. And the Bidka Chalila is more of a, has some sort of function as a room, in that it has air and airspace and windows in it, as opposed to storage, which would be an enclosed room. So the man damar after lo misdavna koshkein bad chalila or bidka chalila. It's clear that the one who says that if the afta is not included, right, then certainly the bid chalila is not included. And the afta, which is closed in like the house, right, functions to store things and place items into it just like the house. And if you say that you sold the house, you didn't sell the afta, then certainly so you didn't sell the bid chalila, which has a different function entirely, which is used basically for either beauty or to get some cool air outside. And since its function is almost entirely different than the house, then certainly that's not included. The one who says that this yitziyah that's not included to sale of the house is this open porch type of structure. But when it comes to a slow storage attachment to the house, that would be included in the sale because it functions the same way as the house and it's an extension of the house and would be included. Reitani Rav Yosef, Shalosh Shemot, Yeshlo Yitziyah, Tzela, and Ta. This, the way Tosis explains it, which seems to make sense, is that this Yitziyah comes, there's three synonyms for this name, which is Yitziyah, Tzela, and Ta. Now, the Gemara is not after what Tosis says over here, is not what the Yitziyah in our Mishnah means anymore. Yitziyah in our Mishnah, we already defined. The Gemara gave that answer. It's an after, it's a bid chalila. Right? The Gemara went through that part of the picture. The question is now, where we find these words in the Beit HaMikdash, we find them in the Psukim, what is their meaning? So that's what the Gemara is saying now, that Yitziyah, Tzela, and Ta all have the same meaning when it comes to the Torah, Tanakh, in this case. So Yitziyah, Dechtiv, so Yitziyah, Tzez, Ve'Yitziyah, Tachtona, Chamesh, Be'ama, Rechva. So the first source of the Yitziyah is from Melachim Aleph, in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. The building of the Mikdash to be describes around the Heichal. Right? The Heichal itself has the Kodesh HaKadoshim in it. Right? It has, in front of it, it has a larger area, the Ulam, which is a larger area that was wider than the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then in the walls surrounding the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were these, what they mark here, what the Torah calls Yitziyot. Those Yitziyot are little rooms or areas that you were able to access that actually went around the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There were three of them. Yeah, they had three levels. There are actually three levels of them. And those three levels, each one got wider as it went up because they had more space to put the wall. They got wider and then there's stairs to get up to them. What they functioned for, no, that's the Mishnayot, get to Midot, what they were used for, but they were these rooms that surrounded. And in the enumeration in the Mishnah Midot, of what the size of the area of the Mikdash was, or the Heichal, was, they Mishnah goes through each one of those items. It says the wall was 6 amot thick. The tela was 6 amot wide. Then the other wall was another 6 amot, and it counts each one. And it goes through that spacing across when it's describing the width there. So here, this is the first one is Yitziat Tachtuna. The Yitziat Tachtuna was 5 shema. Rechva, right? That was the width of it. Now it turns out that when the Mishnah enumerates it, it actually takes the Yitziat Tichuna, the middle Yitziat, because the middle Yitziat is 6 amot wide. Each Yitziah was actually 1 amah wider than the one below it. So the bottom one was 5, the middle one was 6, the top one was 7 wide, because they basically used the wall. As the wall went up, it was on a stair step basis. The wall went up, it cut in a little bit, and that's what they put the floorboards on. When they went the cut in, they went it up. And so as it went, it goes like this, cuts in, goes up, then cuts in again, and goes up. So each successive one is wider, and needs, you know, obviously the higher ones leave less support. The base is going to be stronger. So actually when it's enumerated in the Mishnayot, it's actually talking about the Ta Tichona, or the Tela Tichona, the middle one, which is actually 6 amot wide. The one they hear that they're describing from the Pasuk is the 5 amot wide, which is the bottom one, the bottom floor.
Now, it's not exactly what the Mishnah was referring to.
Right. That's why Tosso says that it's a separate. The Gemara stands separately from the Mishnah. The Mishnah defined Yitziah in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is just talking about... Exactly. Exactly. Lashona Kra, which is Yitziah. What does that mean? And that's what the Gemara is after here. And then there's Lashona Mishnah, which they defined already. All right, now, the next one is, where do we know Rachva from? Right, Tela, I'm sorry, where do we know Tela from? Tichtiv, Vatzlaot, Tela, El Tela, Shalosh, Vishaloshim, Pe'amim. So here it's talking about Yechezkel. Yechezkel is talking about the Atid Davo, the Mishkan, or the Migdash, the Atid Davo. And in that case, it says, it describes over there that it's describing the area of the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Gadim again, the Heichal. And then it says these Tzlaot, these rooms, Tela, Tela, Shalosh, Vishaloshim, Pe'amim, 33 of these rooms. So a pashtut, as the Rashi says, a pashtut, they're talking about these little rooms that surround the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodashim. And over there it says that there are 33 of these rooms, and it describes them as Hatzla'ot. So over there, that's the word Tzela. So the same rooms that were described as Yitzi'ah in Melachim Aleph by the Binyan of Shlomo are described in Yechezkel's Binyan as Tzla'ot. Right? And then Ta, which is the last one, Dichtiv, Vata, Kane Echad Orech, V'Kane Echad Rachav. Right, so now the Ta, this Ta is Kaneh. Kaneh in the Yechezkel is defined as 6 amot. So Kaneh Echad Orech is 6 amot long, V'Kaneh Echad Rochav, and it's 6 amot wide. Uven Ataim, 5 amot. And between the Taim there are 5 amot. Right, so that again is describing the same sort of structure. Again, behind the Mikdash here is 6 amot by 6 amot, which is the, again, middle level, the Yitziah Tachtona, which we brought from Melech Malach, is 5 amot. But the Yitziah Atichona, the middle one, is 6 amot, and that's what's being described here in Yechezkel, and that's termed as a Ta. This Ta is 6 amot wide, and then the walls that are between them are 5 amot. So again, it's enumerating the spacing in the Kodesh HaKodashim, those areas there. So you see here again, the same description of these rooms, they use the word Yitziah, Tzela, and Ta. So that's what the Gemara was after. Now there's a very interesting line here, but now the Gemara says, V'ibay Deim HaMahacha. I can prove it from here. Kodkel HaYichal Shesh, Vata Shesh, Kotolata HaChamesh. So again here, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Midot. It says, Ibai Teima, that the Kotel of the Eichal is 6 amot. The Ta itself is 6 amot, again, this is the Ta Tichuna. Right, the Kotel of the Ta, 5. And then the wall itself of the Ta is 5 amot. Again, this is an enumeration of the width and length of the Kodesh, the Eichal, that area. So over here, it brings the Mishnah.
So the Ta and Yitzirah,
you say. So the Ta, yeah, so here it uses the word Ta. So where's here Ta? So that's what they're proving. But the funny thing is that the Gemara brought Psukim. Right, Yitziah, Tzela, and then Ta from the Psukim. And then it says, Ibai Teim, I'll bring you from a Mishnah that's called a Ta. So the Tosfos asks, what do you mean? What type of Ibai Zema is it? If you look at Tosfos, Ibai Zema, Teima. Rabbeinu Tam, the Reed, the Butter, Kra, might be Mishnah. I mean, what do you need a Mishnah for after you brought a Pasuk? Pasuk is definitive. What do you need a Mishnah to tell you that Ta means the areas, the Yitziah that's described in there, or the Tzela that's described? You have a Pasuk that says it's called a Ta. Why would you bring a Mishnah, Ibai Zema? So the Gemara says that Tosfos Kedidi says that v'hochad lo kamar v'od ato shapir. It's not v'od, another proof, but ibay zema. Right, it's another other people use this as an area. It's not an addition to the pasuk. Right, it's in place of the pasuk. So those that didn't bring it from the pasuk brought it from the Mishnah. Right, as opposed to other places in the Gemara, where the Gemara says va'od, enumerates a number of proofs. It goes va'od, 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 and there the Gemara asks, wait, what wasn't good about the first pasuk? Why are you bringing something from the Navi if you already have something from the Torah? Why are you bringing something from Tuvim if you already have it from the Navi? Over here, the Gemara is not saying it va'od as another proof, an additional proof, but v'ibaytema, which was that they use this instead of the pasuk. So then he says it wasn't a problem, but it's just interesting that they use the Mishnah when, again, Tosus indicates that we're not after Lashona Mishnah, we're after Lashona Kra. But nevertheless, here, Yevta, Yitziyah, Tzela, all synonymous in this case. All right. Now, Gemara continues, Amr Mazucha, Behu da Ave Arba Amot. This idea that a Yitziyah, that's an extension on the house, whether it's an Afto or a Bidka Chalila, it has to be, or these additional areas have to be four Amot. Why does it have to be four Amot? Because four Amot is a Makom Chashuv, 4x4 Amot. So it has to have a standalone Chashivut in order to be a separate entity from the house. Not to be, right, what do you call it, subject to the name of the house, or to be not to be separate from the house, it has to have a distinct, right, be called a distinct entity. And that only happens when you have 4x4 Amot. So Amar Leh Ravina Lamar Zutra, the Dafta, Marta Davi Abra Amot, Elam Ata. Now what are you going to do with the rest of the Mishnah? Not our Mishnah here, but the continuation of this Mishnah. Gabi Bor. It says by a Bor, the Tanan, Lo Eta Bor, Velo Eta Dot, that you do not sell, when you sell the house, you do not sell the Bor, the cistern. Lo Adot, Adot is a Bor, but it has a built out area, meaning that it's, they built, bricked it in that area, they bricked around the area. Avo Bishakato Lo Umko Veruma, even though he writes, I sell you the house, everything above it, everything below it. Even if he says that, they're not included. The Bor and the Dot are not included. Achanami, Dav Abra Mot, Ian Lo, if the Bor and the Dot are 4x4, then it should be like you're saying, there's Makum Chashuv, and that's it. So the Gemara says, there, the Mishnah never qualifies such a thing, or we never see such a qualification of 4x4 Amot. So how come we don't demand 4x4 Amot by the Bor and the Dot, and we do demand it over here? That's how Chiyashta, how can you compare these two? Hatam ha-tashmish t'luchud v'ha-tashmish t'luchud. We're talking about a Bor and a Dot, their utility is separate from the utility of the house. Water, drawing water, or getting water, is something that's totally independent of the house. They have utility, even if there was no house there. On the other hand, when you're talking about a room, right, you're talking about a room, you're talking about something that has, you know, somewhat the same utility as the house. It's attached to the house, it's accessed through the house. So there we require something to be distinct in order to separate it from the shame of the house. And that's what it says, Al-Khayyid of Idi, Achad HaTashmishta, here they're both basically functioning in the same way. Idava, Damaramot Chashiv, Ilo Lo Chashiv. It's 4x4, then it's a distinct entity. If it's a distinct entity, you can separate it from the house. If it's less than 4 Amot, then it's Batel Legabe the house. Right? It's basically a subset of the house, and therefore it'll be a part of the house. A Bor and a Dot can stand alone, even if they're not 4x4 Amot, because they functionally are totally different from the house. Since they're functionally totally different from the house, they can be separated out from the house. Right now, the Mishnah says, "Lo the chedesh lifnim imenu." That was the second part of the Mishnah, not the room, this captive room that is inside of the house. That is the next. Hashto yitzia lo misdaven cheder mibay. Where it says yitzia, which is almost like an external addition to the house, is not included with the house. Then certainly, what do you mean? Then you have to tell me about a cheder, which is like a full fledged separate room. You have to tell me about.
It's inside.
Right, but it's a captive to it, so it's a separate, and it can be separated out. Lo tzicha. The Afagav, the Metzule Mitzrei Avrai. Right, so this is an amazing, this would be the rest of the daf basically, which is that he determined the borders, he gave out the borders of the house. When I sold the house, he gives out the borders of the house. The borders of the house include this room. So the borders, he says, I sell you the house, and these are the, right, these are the markers of the house. You know, it's next to da-da-da-da, it's next to this, this is next to this. So included in those borders are this cheder. So now, why does that mean? Because Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Mocher Bay L'Chavero B'Birah G'dola. Someone sells a house in a large, we'll call it a mansion. Here it is, but their idea, B'Birah G'dola, it sounds like there was a large area, entranceway, or there was a large shared hallway that entered in, and then there were numerous houses or areas off of this main entranceway. So someone who sells a house within the Birah G'dolah, even though he gives the borders of the Birah, of the entirety of the structure, right? Mitzarim erchivlo, it's just the borders that he's giving out. What it seems to be, or the necessity to give out these borders, are that you have to know. People don't know internally what the breakdown of the house is. So he wants to say, I sold you a room, I sold you this house, Right? When he has to say that, where is the location of the house? When he gives the location of the house, he can't say, well, it's the one on the right with two walls here and three walls here. Nobody knows what that is. So if you want to write a contract, you say it's the one next to Reuven, it's next to Shimon on the other side, and it's got Levi on the other side. So when he does that, all he's doing is describing, right, the area in which is contained the house. He's not telling you the dimensions of the house. He's telling you where to find such the house that we're talking about over here. Right, so the borders are not determining the size of what he sold, it's determining the location of what he sold. So that's what he says. So Gemara says, hey, chidami, what is this case over here? If it's a case where they call the bayit a bayit, ulubira, bira, pshita, over there, there's no confusion. The fact that he used a bayit zavinle, bira lo zavinle, he wrote bayit in the contract, why should you have any assumption that it's referring to a bira? Ela de bira, namakarle bayit. So, if the case is that a bira is also called a bayit, then kule zavinle over there, because he's using a term that means bira, he's giving you the borders of a bira, so everything should be included. So the Gemara says, lo, tzricha, but the most people call a bayit a bayit, and a bira a bira. And there's some that call a bira also a bayit. They use the term bayit also to refer to a bira. Right? I would have thought that he sold him the whole thing. That should have written in the contract, we're going to see later in the Gemara, that I left nothing out of this sale. And he didn't write that. That means that he left something over. He left something over. It means that the definition was written in the contract here is a bayit, an area that is classified as a, right, the bayit, and the borders that he used are simply to determine the location and not the size of what he sold them over here. Similar type of case, sells a field within a large, right, area, and he owns all the fields in this bika. Even though he defines where the field is by the borders of the borders of the bika, because meaning that there's no one who borders it, meaning they're all his fields. So what is that? I have Shimon on my right, I have Reuven on my north, and I have Levi on the east, you know? Meaning that when I say that, what am I defining? I'm defining the whole area of the Bika where the field is found. But if I say to you, I own the field on the right, the left, and the north, south, and the east, and the west, that doesn't help you find which field it is. So he uses the definition by the areas of the Bika. Hey, Chidam, what's the case? Ilam de Karle, the Sadeh, Sadeh, the Bika, Bika, Apshita, there's nothing to talk about. Sadeh, Zavinle, he sold him a field. Bika, lo Zavinle, he didn't sell him a Bika. Ella, the Bika, Namakarle, Sadeh. Right, so when you say that a Bika is also called a Sadeh, Kula Zavin. And then if that's the case, he sold them the whole area. Right, there's nothing to talk about. Lo, Tzrichadika, the Sadeh, Karle, Sadeh, the Bika, Bika. Again, this was subject to the same machlokas of the Ri and the Rivam, the Rashbam. That way, that he calls a Sadeh, Sadeh. People call normally a Sadeh, Sadeh, Bika, Bika. Veikanami, the Bika, Karle, lo Sadeh. And then some people call a Bika, Sadeh. They use the word Sadeh to term a Bika, or I thought that he sold the whole thing. Again, that he should have written this term that he didn't leave anything out of the sale. That he left it over. We need both of these. Because each one of their usages is independent, right? Meaning that we're talking about the bayit and a bira, they have two different functions. Right? A bira is a common area, has a large number of houses in it. It's not the same as a bayit, which is a specific area for living in. When you're talking about a bika, they're all fields. All fields are used for the same thing, to plant, right? There's nothing else. Right? By a field, he shouldn't have put the borders. What does he need to put the borders around the whole outside? Of a bayit, right over there by the house, right, where he didn't have to, that he had to give borders, and he didn't give the borders, then the kule zavinle. Right, so by the bika, because over there you didn't have to give the borders, because, right, of a bayit, he had to give the borders of the house, meaning that as you know which house it is, and he didn't do it, kule zavinle, then he's giving him no house. By a field, you have to tell him where in the bika, where to find the location of the field. So there he has to define it by the people around him. A house, you can define it by the measurements of the house. You can give the structure of the house, it has this many rooms, two rooms to here, four rooms here. You can give them, there are other descriptive ways of telling a person what the house is. The fact is that when he gave him the borders of the bika, of the bira, then already he sold him the whole thing, tzricha. So now, gman azlahad amar Rabbi Mari, the Bat Shmuel, right, we've met him a couple of times in Bava Metzia, right, Mishmei de Abaye, which was the grandson of Bat Shmuel. Again, they don't use the term, because Bat Shmuel married, right? She was put in captivity. They married their captives who later converted. So therefore, they only always mention him as brother Bat Shmuel, right? They don't mention him by, they mention his lineage by Bat Shmuel, not by his father's name. Anybody who sells something has to write, I didn't leave anything over in the sale. Who does that go like? Come on, Rav Nachman Amar Rav Huah. That's Rav Nachman Amar Rav Huah we just bumped into all the way through this daf today. So, because he says that if you give the larger borders and you sold the smaller item, we go with the smaller item, because even when you give the larger borders, you're just defining the location and not defining the size of the sale. I'm selling you the field of Bechia. He has two fields that are called Bechia. So over there, Amarashi, Chada Amarle, Tarte Lo Amarle. So he said he sold him one field, he didn't sell him two fields. So he gets the smaller of the two fields that are called Bechia. Viam Arle, Arata Stama. If he said arata, which is the plural, then miut arata shtaim, the minimum of a plural is two, and therefore he'll get both. He gets two fields, or he'll get the minimum of two fields. If he says all of my property, I'm selling to you. Kol arata ditle barman mustanu pardese. Said I'm selling you all of my property. He gets all of his property, excluding the kramim, the vineyards, and the bustani, and the orchards. Right, so the orchards and the vineyards we left out of that sale. If he says, I'm selling you all my zira, that includes everything that is land-oriented, meaning that includes the bustani and the kramim, it includes the orchards and the vineyards. Right, a fellow be bustani, who probably say, the var, mi, bate, v'avde. Don't they exclude it when I say zira? Are houses and avadim. Those are left out. V'yamalei nichsai, if he says all my possessions, avilu bati v'avdei, right, then he is gives him everything. Nichsai means including a house and including avadim in that case. Everything's included in nichsai.
But not metaltalim.
Not metaltalim, very good. Tosu saying, the Rashbam point that over here, avil metaltalim lo. The metaltalim are left out of that, meaning that it's all real property is included then. Meaning any, when he says, kol nichsai, nichsai means all of my real property, which will include the land, it'll include the orchards, the vineyards, the houses, and the vadim, and what's excluded, as David says, are the metaltalim in this case. One important thing, machlokas over here, is about when he sells him a bika gedula. The Rashbam asks over here, why don't we just look about the money that he paid him? Adami emmodim. It's very easy to know. Here we have, he says bait in the contract, but he gives the borders of the bira. The bira and a bait sell for different prices. So why don't we look at the price of what he sold it for? How come that is not the, why can't that be the determining factor? We have that by fields. How do you know how many fields you take possession of when it comes to Kenyan on fields? As with the damim. Look at how much money he paid. So why don't we say damim modim over here? So the Rashbam says a statement here, and that's it's a very important statement. He says, "Vadamim modim lekel meimar lo gabi bira v'lo gabi bika." It doesn't work by the fields. It doesn't work by the bira. Taha ein ona lekarkaot. There is no ona lekarkaot. So what is it? The Rashbam over here connects two ideas, which Tosfos will disagree and separates out the two ideas. He says that the fact that there's ein ona lekarkaot means that ein ona lekarkaot means that there's no price. People will pay prices, right? Right, so there are different ways to learn it, why there ain't no nada karkot. Why is there no nada karkot? There are actually three different. One is that it's gzer sakatuf. That's one possibility. Second possibility over here is that the one that the Rashbam over here introduces, which is the idea that a person pays money, that there is no nada karkot because people are willing to pay different prices for property. I mean, that properties have unlimited prices. There's one other. Daya in Ein Ona LeKarkaot is which that the utility of a house or property is to live in it for long duration. And over long durations of time, price doesn't matter. I mean, price matters when you talk about items, utility or metaltalim or small items. But when it comes to large items that are going to have utility over many, many years, the price is forgotten, basically. And the utility is what matters. If you're going to live there for many years, people don't focus on the price. But you see over here that the Rashbam believes that Ein Ona LeKarkaot is because people are willing to pay whatever it is. There's no price. Some people are willing to pay excessive amounts for small pieces of property or small tracts of property. Tosfos over here says, no, I'm sorry, the Rashbam. You happen to be right that here the damim are not modim, but the two are not connected. Thus it says, "Ein ona lekarkaot gzerat takatufu." That's gzerat takatuf. I can prove it to you. Why? Because "Ein ona" also applies to avadim and it applies to right other areas or other items, right, where we don't say hekdei shot and avadim, where we don't say that there's unlimited pricing to these items. So he says no, that the two are separate issues. One is "Ein ona lekarkaot." That's gzerat takatuf. A second issue is that different people will pay different prices for property. People will pay, one person will pay a larger price for this property, and another person will pay less. One is because it's adjacent to what he wants. He wants his children to live in the neighborhood. Whatever it is, people have different views of value when it comes to houses and it comes to property. And those differing values will mean ein adamim modim. Nothing to do with einon ala karkot. It's a separate issue, which is that the price that is set here will not determine what you've sold, because people are willing to pay different prices for different items. And therefore, we can't make any determination. A separate thing is einon ala karkot, gzerat hakatuv, that there is no ala karkot, and that applies to hakdishot, abadim. It's not related to the fact that there is, people are willing to pay unlimited or different prices. The Rashbam connects the value, people, way people were, the value of the karka to in another karkot, which those separates the two items out and says, one is a, right, mekakum emkar issue, and one is in another karkot, is a xerata katuv. Okay, we'll stop over here.